السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. صدق الله العظيم. It is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has blessed us with these Mubarak and blessed moments. Allah ta'ala has blessed us with life to witness these days, these nights, these moments. And beyond that, for us to be seated here, this is a sign that Allah Ta'ala wishes to give us something. We may have observed beggars with begging bowls. We may have observed beggars with begging bowls. When these beggars go out with the begging bowls, then in order for them to collect something, then the bowl which they have in their hands, it is obvious it has to be the right way up. The begging bowls have to be the right way up. If a beggar, sometimes we may have noticed on Eid days, Allah Ta'ala don't make us amongst them. Sometimes, you know, when we see these types of people, then we think low of them. Once we are traveling with someone, so we are at the airport, and sometimes we have to go to the toilets or use the toilets either for wudu or for istinja, whatever. Then there are these cleaners that you will find at the toilets that are cleaning, and we find that after we have used the facilities there, when we go out of there, then they are hopeful of something from us, you know, a few rands or whatever it is. Now, one is that we don't give them anything. There's no problem with that. But there it becomes a little dangerous when we think low of them. That person is cleaning the toilet to earn his livelihood. For a little while, contemplate and think, what if Allah Ta'ala put me there? And that is the way that I had to earn my livelihood, cleaning the toilet and earning my livelihood. And then we feel sometimes out of place, or we feel upset if the person comes and asks us for something. Then at that time think that Allah Ta'ala didn't put me in that place. What if I had to raise, or if I had to put forward my hands to somebody in, under these circumstances? First of all, you're cleaning the toilet, and then after that to go and ask someone. If that person had the wealth, if that person had been blessed with wealth, do you think anyone optionally would go and clean the toilet to earn a livelihood? So therefore, we need to be very, very mindful about these things, that don't think low of these people. Allah Ta'ala can turn the tables anytime. I remember there was an incident. I may have mentioned it sometime, but my Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, sometimes Even if I mention something 120 times, these were those of us that had the good fortune of being in his majlis, may have heard this particular phrase of Hazrat, then I don't know for whose benefit, for my benefit, whose benefit Allah Ta'ala is making me say it. And this, I didn't even have it in mind, just suddenly the scene just came to mind. That there was a rich couple. There was a rich couple. And they enjoyed everything of the best, all the luxuries, everything they enjoyed. Best of food, best of house, best of vehicle, transport, everything else. Beautiful children, everything Allah Ta'ala blessed. And they enjoyed a good life. See, one day it so happened that they were having supper. The family was having supper and there was a knock on the door. So, and they went, the husband went to the door only to find a beggar there. So he got very upset. He got very upset. Don't you know it is our meals time now, and for the whole day this is the only time that we get together, and you coming now to disturb me whilst I'm having supper. Get out of here. He mentioned harsh words and he chased him away from there. Of course we can imagine, for a person who hasn't got anything to eat and he's a genuine beggar, meaning that he is begging because he doesn't have anything for himself. Now can you imagine what must have gone through his heart and how he must have felt? At the same time, let us see the difference. This is asking, but asking of a makhluq, asking of a creation of Allah Ta'ala. On the other hand, when a person asks of Allah Ta'ala, then there's no restrictions. There's no such thing that Allah Ta'ala is busy with something so he can't attend to us. And also beyond that, Allah Ta'ala doesn't even feel offended when we ask him. In fact, the reality is that when we don't ask him, then Allah Ta'ala gets angry. This banda of mine is not asking me. Allah Ta'ala wants us to ask of him. That is the difference between asking from the makhluq and asking from the khaliq. However this incident happened, the person was very, very disturbed, hurt. But he walked away from there. Not long after this incident occurred, the tables started turning for this rich couple. Something happened, business was affected, didn't flourish, and the person was not getting his income. And gradually, there was a decline in his business to the extent that eventually he had to close his business. Now he started seeing the difficult side of life, poverty. Therefore we must always remember, don't treat anyone in this manner. Show compassion. If you can't help and assist the person for whatever reason, sometimes even when we have, then too we cannot assist. But don't treat the person in such a way or give him such words that will make his heart pain, that will bring injury to his heart. Because after that, what happens, these types of people, sometimes they make baddu'a. And on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala, if you want to find him, where will you find Allah Ta'ala? Where will you find Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is found ana inda munkasiratil qulub. Those hearts that are broken, those hearts that are broken, a person has lost hope or a person is in difficulty, there's no one to assist him. Broken hearts, that is where you will find Allah Ta'ala. That is where you will find Allah Ta'ala. And it is therefore also mentioned that beware of the curse and of the da'wah, of the du'a of the mazloom, of the oppressed. Ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom. And here it hasn't been qualified that whether it is a Muslim, a mu'min, a believer or disbeliever. Even if the oppressed is a disbeliever, then his dua is also accepted. So therefore be very, very careful that don't take the badduas of these types of people. We don't know. That person must be a genuine beggar. Of course we do get those that are professional beggars. There are those, you get them professional beggars. But this we are talking of genuine beggars. Those that really are forced to go out because they don't have anything. So, however, when this person starts going into financial problems and difficulties, he then eventually realizes that he cannot take care of his family. He couldn't take care of his family. So when things went from bad to worse, he eventually one day plucked the courage and he addressed his wife. And he mentioned to his wife that, "See, I have reached this position now that I cannot support you anymore. Neither can I support myself. And I don't want you to go through difficulty in life. So, the best thing that I can do for you is to remove you from my nikah. To remove you from my nikah. After that you can settle with whomsoever and continue with your life. Because I don't want to keep you in my wedlock and make you suffer." And that is what he settled for. He separated her. He went his way, she went her way. After some time her luck opened, somebody proposed for her, knowing that she was a widow. And she got married. And Allah Ta'ala opened the way for her again, started living a prosperous life. The person whom she got married to, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a good business and whatever, and then a palatial home. And in the meantime, this first husband of hers, her ex-husband, the condition when said that eventually he ended up begging on the streets. He ended up begging on the streets. So this couple now, his ex-wife and her husband, one occasion they were having supper and they hear a knock on the door. So the husband asked the wife, "Let's just go and check up who's there at the door." So she went and she opened the door. She came back and informed the husband that there is a beggar at the door. He said, "All right, whatever food that is here, whatever we've got, take it and give it to him." So she went, she took whatever there was there and went and gave it. But when she came back crying. She came back tearing. So the husband became curious that what happened? Why are you suddenly crying? Why are you tearing? You went out nicely, there was nothing. I didn't tell you anything, or there was no argument, no fight, nothing of that nature. You went out nicely. But now when you're coming back, you are coming back crying. What happened? I said, "No, don't worry about it." I said, "No, I want you to tell me, why are you crying? Did the beggar tell you something? Did he swear you? Did he verbally abuse you? Or something happened? That's why, or did I tell you something?" So she said, "No, I don't want to do it." When he insisted, then she eventually spoke and she said, "That you see, the person that was there at the door was my ex-husband. The person that was there at the door and that was begging was my ex-husband, who was wealthy. So she said that I took pity on him, that today this is his condition, that what he had, everything was going for him, yet everything, all the luxuries and comforts that we could think of, but eventually this is his condition today, that he is begging on the road." So the husband heard her comments and what she had to say. And then after she calmed down, then he spoke to her very calmly and told her that, do you remember, you know, certain period of time ago, there was a knock at your door at supper time, and there was a beggar outside. He says, yes, after a little while recalling, he said, yes, I remember that. And that beggar was chased away. He says, yes, I can recall something of that nature. And let me inform you that that beggar was myself. I was the beggar that was there that night, that evening, whom you all chased away from the door. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned the tables. Truly, this is what it is. So therefore, be very, very careful when we see these types of people. If for some reason or the other we cannot help and assist them, then don't pass comments. I say, can't you work? Your limbs, everything, you are good enough to work, why are you begging? If that he wants to do that, let him. Who knows, he's got some genuine reason for begging. And he may not even expose that to us, that this is my reason for begging. And how many of us would be prepared to help a person who is a genuine beggar, a person who's got valid reasons for begging? How much are we prepared to help? But when it comes to comments, then we are very quick in passing comments. Be always mindful and make shukr at that time and contemplate. This is what we will call muraqabah. At that time, think that what if Allah Ta'ala put me in his place? What would have been my condition? And these comments that I am passing to him, if those very same comments were passed to me, what injury, what pain I would feel in my heart. So however, you're talking of the bowl. If this type of a beggar comes and he's got the bowl, but he's got the bowl upside down. He's got the bowl upside down. Will anything be able to be collected in that bowl? He won't be able to collect anything, because if anyone does decide to put anything on a bowl that is turned upside down, it's just going to fall down. He's not going to be able to collect anything. The person is ready to give, but we've got the collector has got his bowl, has got his utensil upside down. Now for a little while, after having understood this example, let us think that on these nights, the giver is ready to give. Allah Ta'ala is ready to give. Allah Ta'ala has assembled us here for what? Has Allah Ta'ala assembled us here for nothing? It is because Allah Ta'ala wants to give. And my young friends, I want you to listen to this carefully. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give. Allah Ta'ala wants to give. We need to have our utensils the correct way up so that we can receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala wants to give, and if we have got this attitude that we are not in need of these ni'mat and bounties and favors of Allah ta'ala, we are not in need of hidayat, then we can sit here night upon night, our begging bowls will never get full. Nothing will ever go inside. We've got to have those bowls the right way up. And that is to sit in such a way that where we are receptive, where we feel we are beggars in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I am in need of that favor from your side. If we sit here with this type of mindset, then see what happens. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us. There's an incident that is recorded. Sometimes, you see, when we are young, we don't regard this time or this age, we don't take it seriously. This time will pass. Later on we will see, we will become somebody. But this is the time of planting that seed. This is the time of planting that seed of taqwa. This is the time of planting that seed of the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that seed of the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planted, now it germinates, and then see what happens. There was an incident that is mentioned about a person. There was a king, and he had, we have security ministers, people that are responsible for security. So there was one minister of that kind. Daily he wanted a report about what is carrying on in the bazaar and marketplaces. So now he needed a spy who could go and spend his time during the day in the bazaar and marketplaces, hear what is carrying on, and then draw up a report and give it to him, and then he could in turn present that to the king, to the Khalifa. So there was one person whom he got, and this person used to go during the day in the bazaar marketplace and listen to the people, what they are speaking, what their communication is, and then after midday he would draw up a report, and then he himself would come to the minister and present that report, and he would go through it and then discuss it with the Khalifa. This continued for some time until one day it so happened that because of some work that he had to do, he couldn't go into the marketplace. So what he did was, by midday he got someone and he asked them that what's carrying on in the marketplace. So whatever this person told him, he made the record accordingly. He wrote out whatever this person told him and he put it into an envelope. Now he didn't have time to even go to the minister. So now he had to send it via someone, or he had to send it with someone. So he had a young nephew by the name of Ahmed. And he told him, he asked him, do you know where the minister's office is? He says, yes. So he said, I want you to do me a favor. What can I do for you, uncle? He said, take this envelope of mine and go and deliver it to the minister. And he knew well that this is, you know, the report of the day. So this youngster said, no problem, I know where the place is, and I will take it and I will go and deliver it. En route, he realizes, and suddenly an ayat of the Quran Majeed strikes him, that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majeed, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, that do not spy. Now when this ayat of the Quran Majeed, the meaning of this ayat came to his mind, he immediately thought to himself that what I am doing now, what firstly my uncle is doing, is something that is haram. What my uncle is doing is something haram, because he's spying on the people. That is one. And I am aiding him in haram by taking this report to the minister. So now he began communicating with himself, what should I do, until he came to a bridge. He had to cross over the bridge. There was a river that was flowing beneath. He eventually, whilst crossing the bridge, he said, listen, I cannot disobey my Allah. Come what may, I am not aiding in this injustice and in this haram. So that envelope that he had, he flung it from the top, from the bridge, into the river. And he returned. He went away home. The afternoon came, the time for the report to be submitted came, and no report came. Now the minister became curious that why isn't the report here? So he sent some messengers to the spy's house to find out, listen, why hasn't the report come? So when they reached the spy's house, so he said, no, I've already sent it with my nephew Ahmed. Said, okay. So now they began looking for this youngster. When they found the youngster, they said, where is the letter that was given to you? Where is the envelope that was given to you to be delivered to the minister? So he didn't make any stories. I imagine a young person having that type of tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala, that he is the protector, he will protect. Nothing can happen to him, and if anything is to happen to me, I will be ready to accept and tolerate. So he said, no, I threw it into the river. I said, but why you threw it into the river? And he gave the correct answer, that which was the truth. If it was me, probably I would have said, no, it fell down. But what did he say? He said, no, I threw it because I did not want to aid in something that is haram. I did not want to assist someone in something that is haram. That is why I threw it. So now, this youngster, they took him to the minister. Now the minister is questioning him, that what did you do? He said, this is what I did. But why you did that? He said, no, I didn't want to assist in haram. Now these words of this youngster and this action of this youngster, although outwardly would have made the minister very, very upset and angry, but when he saw this young person and the bravery that he had and the honesty and also the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it had such an impact on his heart that he said, no, listen, what this child is saying is nothing but the truth. And now I will keep away from this. And then those that write this incident at the end said, do you know who this youngster was? This youngster was the same person who eventually became Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. This youngster was the same youngster who eventually became Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. Now look at that quality of, you know, being steadfast on something that was from that young age. Imagine, this is some important envelope that I've got to be delivered to the minister's office and I'm prepared to do this. It was the seed that was planted at that time that eventually when the main test came, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he was lashed, and what type of zulm that was made upon him, but he didn't move away from that which was haqq and that which was the truth. He took whatever came his way, but he didn't move, and that was with regards a masala, and that is about the Quran-e-Majid. Whether the Quran-e-Majid at that time when masala started, whether the Quran-e-Majid is a creation of Allah Ta'ala or it is the word of Allah Ta'ala that has come out from the being of Allah Ta'ala. So there was this masala that no, it is the makhluq of Allah Ta'ala. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that the masala is this, that it is not the makhluq of Allah Ta'ala, it is not the creation of Allah Ta'ala, it has come out from the being and the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just because of that and remaining steadfast on that, he went through trials and he went through persecution and torture and everything else, but Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah ta'ala went through that. Now this was because at that young age, the seed of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala was planted at that time. Therefore, this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us at this young age, and these opportunities that Allah ta'ala gives all of us, then make use of these opportunities, grab these opportunities. Do not show disregard to these opportunities and these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep our begging bowls the correct way up. Then we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill these begging bowls of ours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the hidayat and the guidance to appreciate these moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. There's so much that you can say as far as ikhlas is concerned, as far as our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. These are the days, the time, especially for our youth, to build up that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we feel that this is not the time for us. When we grow older, then we will think about this. And this, I remember the example of my Shaykh Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, that he used to give about one example that Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayh has given in his Masnavi. Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayh has mentioned an incident that there was a person that, you know, he had a plant on the pavement. It was actually a tree, and he planted that on the pavement. So that little plant started growing, and as it grew, there were thorns in that particular plant. So because the passers-by that were going past, it used to harm them, the thorns used to prick them. So he was told that, listen, remove this plant from here so that it doesn't harm the passers-by. So he used to keep on saying, okay, listen, I will do it tomorrow, I will do it soon. And in the meantime, what happened, the plant continued growing, and he kept on postponing it until such time that it became a strong tree and full of thorns. When eventually it was realized that this person is not going to be taking it out, the complaint went to the municipality. And eventually they came or they summoned him, and they gave him a notice and asked him to remove that tree from the pathway. So now, because he was under order and he had to do it, so now he goes to the tree and he's making an attempt to take the tree out, only to realize the tree has taken roots and it is just too strong for him. And in the interim, what has happened is that he is gone weak. He doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have the strength. The tree is gone strong, he is gone weak. Now if he wants to remove it, he will have to get the assistance of someone else to remove the tree from there. Now this is just an example. Shaykh Al-Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions that the lesson that we learn from this is that in this youth, whilst we are young, the evil habits, sometimes we will get involved in something, some guna, some sin, but do not let that take root in ourselves, in our systems. Sometimes a person gets involved in some guna or some sin for the first time. The moment I know that what I have did is wrong, make tawbah immediately and leave that sin. Now what happens is we become addicted to that sin. Now we become addicted eventually when we come to realization and we realize that now we need to get rid ourselves of this weakness or of the sin. Then by that time it becomes too late, because that has taken root in our system. Now to take it out, it becomes extremely difficult. And also if it does come out, then you have those withdrawal symptoms, as we call them. So there's so many difficulties thereafter. Why? Because these evils have taken root in our system. So therefore, remember, we are humans, we will make mistakes. When we make mistakes, the important thing is this, that do not let these bad habits or bad things become habits. Sometimes just due to human weakness we did something wrong. Make tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness of sin, and then move away, start moving forward. And that is why we say to our youngsters also, you see, in our homes, sometimes even in our vehicles, we have the first aid kits. Something happened, a person got cut, he got hurt, injured, something happens, it's bleeding. So immediately what we do, we take that bandage or that elastoplast or whatever it is and bandage that wound so that the bleeding stops. Now similarly, what happens is that when we get involved in gunas, now there's a wound that is there. Now what happens is that we don't make an effort to close that wound immediately. We don't look for the bandage. Now what is the bandage? The bandage is to keep in contact with those who have that muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who will help us to bandage this wound in the form of assisting us in making tawbah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness of that sin, and then encourage us to leave that sin. So have relationship with someone, from our seniors, from our ulama, from our mashayikh, whoever it may be, whoever we take a liking to, have that type of relationship and muhabbat for someone of this nature, that if I have did something wrong, like when a person falls sick, then immediately many of us, we want to go to the doctor immediately, why, I'm not feeling well. So similarly, when I have committed some sin and some guna, and I know I don't have the courage on my own to come out of this guna or to make tawbah, then immediately phone someone or ask someone for assistance who will be able to tell me what to do. And the person whom I am communicating with, I must have full confidence in this person, that it is not that type of a person who will then go around announcing the guna that I have committed. It is not that type of a person that will go around announcing that, hey, listen, this is the person who's committed this type of a guna, or he's got involved in this type of guna, or he's got involved in that type of guna. That person will not go around announcing my guna. You must have confidence in this person. And when you have confidence in that type of person, and that person is of that nature, then he will assist you immediately. And what will happen is that the guna that we have committed will not become a habit. Now, especially in us youngsters, this is what happens when we commit a guna for the first time. A person is, or a youngster has taken a cigarette for the first time for argument's sake, and he hasn't been caught out. So now he's taken it for the first time, and he knows what he has did is wrong, but now he's taken and he didn't get caught, he wants to try it for the second time, and then the third time. Eventually he finds that he's become a habit. Now when he realizes that it's a bad habit and he wants to get rid of it, then it becomes very difficult. So therefore, have relationship with someone with whom we can communicate and whom we can get assistance from as far as our Islah is concerned, as far as our spiritual rectification is concerned. And it is very, very important. And this is the easy way out for us. If we look for other routes out, it becomes quite difficult for us because we cannot engage in that type of ibadat. We cannot engage in that type of zikrullah, that make excessive zikrullah, and then you will be protected from these types of gunas. So the easy way is to keep relationship with those who have the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts, and they will guide us along, they will help us. And remember, sometimes what happens is that when we commit these types of evil, then we feel that if I am going to be telling this person, that he's going to be thinking bad of me, or what will he think of me? Remember, this is a deception, because those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with this type of a responsibility, they don't have time to think low of anybody or bad of anybody, because their gaze is on this. Jab giri nigahe apni burai par, jab giri nigahe apni burai par, to dunya mein koi burai burai na rahi. That when my gaze fell on my own weakness, then no evil in the world remain an evil, because where do I have time to look at the weaknesses and the sins of others? I am looking at the weakness of my own self, that I am full of weaknesses and full of gunas. What is my condition? How can I think low of somebody else? So these types of people don't have time to look down upon anybody, and Allah Ta'ala has placed them there for this type of service to the community and to the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. That those that are involved in gunas, those that are involved in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has placed that type of mercy in their hearts and concern in their hearts for the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they don't wish to see the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going through these types of problems and going through these types of difficulties and through these types of sins and moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather what they want is that the makhluk of Allah ta'ala, the creation of Allah ta'ala, is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why they say that this is that burning desire that they have in their heart, that the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of Allah ta'ala, is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is therefore that our Shaykh al-Mawla Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, we have desire, we have different types of desires, and we want to do different things when it comes to our holidays and whatever. Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi used to say that my one desire is this, that I go from village to village and from town to town, city to city, and from country to country with only one thing, and there's only one desire that I have, and that is to link the creation to the creator, to create in the hearts of the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is what we need to understand. And remember that let us not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one youngster, just comes to mind, we'll see that and then inshallah we will maybe terminate. In the time of Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, there was one youngster, and his father had passed away. He left behind a lot of wealth for him. So it so happened that He joined the wrong company. And after having joined the wrong company, of course, he was the only son and his mother. So the mother's affection for the child, how much more could she tell him? But then she used to take him to the majlis of Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh. The Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh, a great tabi'i. So Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh also used to admonish him, used to give him some nasihat. But the nasihat of this wali also did not affect him. It continued like that. Whatever wealth that was left by his father, he started using that in the wrong avenues, wrong places, on his friends, on himself, and all the types of gunas that one could think of. And eventually, it so happened that whatever wealth that his father had left behind almost finished. That finished, and his health also finished, meaning that suddenly he took ill. And his illness was of such a nature that it began making him weak. And eventually he realized that his time now to leave this world is near. So on one occasion, in that weak condition and whilst on the bed, he addresses his mother and he says to his mother, "But I want you to do me a favor. Better, what can I do for you?" So go to Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh and ask him to come to me. I can't go to him, I'm in this condition now. I don't have the strength, I can't walk, I'm bedridden. So ask him to come and make some nasihat. May Allah Ta'ala will give me the tawfiq of making amal. So when she heard this, she became excited that alhamdulillah, there's some change of heart in my son. So she grabs the opportunity and immediately she puts on her niqab and that, and she goes to the house of Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh. When she reaches Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh's house, it's already just past midday, just past the time of lunch. And Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh had some appointment for later on that afternoon. He had to meet someone. So he was about getting ready just to have a little rest. As we have the siesta hour. So he just about getting ready to have his rest when there was a knock at the door. So he went to the door and this youngster's mother was at the door and she makes salam and she says, "Hazrat, I have come to call you to my son. He requests that you come to him and make him give him some nasihat." And the youngster, before his mother left, he also mentioned that just in case by the time Hazrat Hasan has to come here, if I have to die, then request Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh to perform my janaza salah. So this is the message that she's giving, that my son has asked you to come and give him some nasihat. And he also mentions that if by the time you come there, if something has to happen to him, then you must perform the janaza salah. Now, mother's heart, we all know what the mother's heart is. No matter how much the son may have troubled her, no matter how much he may have disobeyed her, but a son is a son. And this made her so happy that at these last moments, there was a change of heart. Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh, a little while after contemplating, he says to her that, "See, this youngster, we have admonished him and we have given him nasihat more than enough. And he just refused taking nasihat. So I don't want to waste my time coming there because I know what he is. You know, he's been just stubborn. And let me tell you this much also, that if he dies, I will not perform his janaza salah. If he dies, I will not perform his janaza salah." Now, that is the verdict, that is what he mentioned. She can't force him, she can't ask him to do anything beyond that. Now, can we imagine with what type of a heart she must have been returning from there? That my son is asking for some assistance, and the wali of Allah Ta'ala is giving this type of an answer. She goes back home and that son that is lying in that condition, she tells him, "Beta, You see, Hazrat Hasan has refused to come. And he has also refused to perform your janaza salah should something happen to you. So the youngster, he then tells to his mother, see, my time for going has come away. My time for going has come now, and I am leaving. But I want you to do me one favor. That after I die, then your scarf or your shawl that you have, put it round my neck and drag me out of the house. But better, why you want me to do that? So just for this reason, to show everyone that this is what the treatment of a disobedient son to his mother is. I want the other youngsters to see what the result and what treatment a disobedient son to his mother and a disobedient servant and slave to Allah Ta'ala, this is how he should be treated. So do me that. And the second thing he said to his mother, that when I die, or after I have passed away, do not bury me in the ordinary qabrastan. Because I don't know, because of my ills and my sins, there will be others that will be uncomfortable there, those that are already buried there. So therefore bury me somewhere else. Having said these few words, he passed away. Now the mother has to start. First of all, she's already got that heavy heart that Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali hasn't come. He's not even going to be performing the janaza namaz. What is she going to do, a woman alone? She started whatever, she, of course, crying and everything else. But within a short period of time, a few moments passed by and there was a knock on the door. She opens to the door and to her surprise, she sees Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali at the door. So she is surprised. A few moments ago, a little while ago, he mentioned he won't even come, and forget the coming, not even the janaza salah he is prepared to perform. And now, so she asks Hazrat, Hazrat, a few moments ago you told me that you are not going to come and you're not going to be even performing the janaza salah of my son. He said, yes, that's exactly what I said. And after I told you that, I went to lie down. And whilst I was in that condition, I had a vision. And in that vision, I'm being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Hasan, what type of a friend of ours are you? What type of a friend of ours are you that you are refusing to perform the janaza salah of my friend? What type of a friend are you of ours that you are refusing to perform the janaza salah of our friend? Referring to that youngster that passed away. Can we imagine what type of tawbah that youngster must have made, the remorse and the regret, and what must have gone through his heart at that time, and how he must have made rujoo ila Allah and turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, let us not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the days, these are the nights, these are the moments. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us be convinced that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give us, we need to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make this intention. We want to change ourselves. We want to change the direction. Do not leave it for tomorrow. We do not know whether the next day is going to come or not. These are those moments that Allah Ta'ala is giving us. You can see the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending. We are informed of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala descending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive. We are unfortunately not ready to take. We are not ready to ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who do we blame? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity, for instance right now that we are here. Are we ready to take? Are we ready to make this? We are sometimes, you know, scared to change the direction of our life. We are, because we are in comfort zone, and what we feel, that if my Shaykh Al-Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say sometimes, that, you know, we're scared to change our life because in the position that we are, we tend to enjoy things. And we feel that when we become obedient to Allah Ta'ala, then there won't be enjoyment in life. Because what's happening is that we're getting enjoyment in all the haram things. And now we're scared that if I'm going to leave out this haram, then where is there going to be enjoyment? Whereas the reality is this, that that enjoyment that we are that we are experiencing, that is not enjoyment, that is filth, that is dirt. It is just like that person that is there in the gutter, or in the drain, and all that filthy water is going over him and going into his mouth and his nose, and he's happy about it. Now what will we say of that person? As we mentioned the other night as well, this person is either is not right in his mind, or there's something else wrong with him. So we are getting, because our temperament, our mizaj has gone off, that is why we are getting all that enjoyment in the haram things. Whereas enjoyment, true enjoyment, is in those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do. Now if we just take that one step into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of enjoyment, He will give us enjoyment. And this enjoyment will be such that you will not be able to express and you will not be able to describe this enjoyment that a person gets in the obedience of Allah ta'ala. Person will never be able to. There was a king by the name of Harun al-Rashid. The story is long, we will cut it short. But on one occasion, one of the ministers came to Harun al-Rashid and told him, you know, your son is embarrassing you. Your son is embarrassing. Now this youngster was very Allah conscious, so he didn't worry about his outward appearance. He was more worried about enhancing and polishing his heart and let his heart be connected to Allah Ta'ala. So his father called him the Khalifa. Imagine the Khalifa and the, so to say, like we will call him the prince, and living in all that luxury and everything, and then too his condition is like this. So the father calls him and tells him that, you know, you have embarrassed me in front of everyone. Look at your clothing. See how you are dressed. And you are the Khalifa's son. You're supposed to be taking interest in the matters of the state and everything else. And look at your condition. Is this how the Khalifa's son is supposed to be? You're supposed to be donning the best of clothes and stay respectfully, take interest in what is happening, so that tomorrow when I am not here, you can take over. So the Khalifa admonished him and gave him this view. So he just kept quiet. And after that, there was one bird that was perched somewhere. And he gestured towards that bird and said, come here. And next thing, that bird from there flew and came and sat on his shoulders. And told his father, now I am leaving here. In that condition, he took nothing from there. His mother just gave him two or three things, a musalla, a Quran Sharif, and something else she gave him. And he left the palace. He went from there. He went to one distant place. And there he went. And he started making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. There were some laborers that used to stay at a certain place. So he joined them. But just like how we get, you know, in the mornings, you get those people that are looking for work. They come and assemble at one place. So this youngster, he used to come and join the laborers to look for work. So there was one person by the name of Abu Amir. And he needed a wall to be put up. He needed a wall to be constructed. So he, one morning, he walked to this place. And when he came to this, he saw this one youngster, bright in complexion. And he looked different from the others. And he saw him, he said, listen, are you prepared to do some work? He said, well, that is what we are created for. And that is why I am seated here. I am looking for work. He said, well, if you want to work, then come with me. He said, no problem. I don't mind coming with you, but I have some conditions. The person who is wanting the job done, he is not mentioning about any condition, but this person who is looking for a job or who wants a job, say, I have got some conditions. Okay, brother, what's your conditions? Now, let us hear the conditions. One, he says that he will only take a specified amount of remuneration, in other words, like a salary, not more than that. Maybe if it was one dirham or whatever it was, I will not take beyond that. Now today what we will say, how much are you going to give me? And if he says, yes, no, I want more than that. He is saying beforehand that I will only take this much and I will not take more than that. Okay, what else? He says that namaz time I will not work. And he gives these few conditions he made. He said, okay, join me. Now when he went, so the person who had this wall to be put up, he gave him whatever material and he went away from them. And he came after a little while, and to his surprise he saw that this one person has did 10 people's work. This one person has did 10 people's work. Now of course, if Allah Ta'ala has given us good hearts, if we see generally our hearts are not like that, if one person does, then do we not prepare to give the person anything extra? But however, this person appreciated. And he said, MashaAllah, you've did 10 people's work, so here's an extra bonus for you. He said, remember my condition, I will not take anything extra. So according to the condition, he was paid. Anyway, now the work had to continue. So next day, he went to look for the laborer again. He said, let me look for that same youngster again. So when he went there to the marketplace, so those laborers that were waiting there, he asked them, where is this youngster? He said, no, this youngster is, he only works once a week. He only works once a week. And balance of the days, you won't see him. So now this person said, it's still worth it for me to wait until next week. And when he comes next week, I will be the first one to get him. So he waited the week. And the following week, on the same day, he goes to that place and he finds him seated there. So he said, are you ready for work? Same conditions. He said, okay, come. But this time, this person said, I want to see how he's working. I want to see what's the secret. How is he managing to do 10 people's work? So he hid at some place where he couldn't be seen. Now this person, of course, you know, as we have that scaffolding and everything, so now because the wall was gone reasonably high, so now he's observing that this person is standing there on the scaffolding and he's just gesturing. The brick is coming, you know, like it's being flung into his hand on its own. He's not going down to pick it up. It's coming on its own. He's placing it there, and it's the same is happening with the mixture and everything, and he's just placing and he's continuing. When he saw this, he said, no, this is no ordinary person. This is someone else. This is a youngster. It is not someone that is old. It is a youngster. However, when he observes this, he says, no, listen, this person, I need to respect him. So at the end, gives him whatever his salary is, and the work is still unaccomplished, still needs to be completed. So he said, no, listen, I'll wait till next week. The following week, when he goes there to that place to look for this youngster again, he is not there. So he asks those laborers that were there, that where is this youngster that was around here? He said, no, that youngster is very, very sick. He is now in the throes of death. Where is he? He's lying at a certain place. So this person said, immediately I must set off to go and see. When he goes there, he sees this youngster in a pitiful condition. He's got his head on a brick and he's in his last, about breathing his last. So when he sees him in that condition, tears come to his eyes and he takes that youngster and puts him on his lap. The youngster refuses. He said, no, this brick is sufficient for me. And he leaves. He said, anything that I can do for you? He said, yes. You see, I'm going to be breathing my last. You must take care of my husal, my kafan, burial, janaza, salah and everything. And I've got few items here. Take these items and go and give it to the Khalifa. So then something came in this person's heart that, no, listen, there's something which I haven't understood yet. So, and he also gave him a letter. So he passed away, the youngster passed away, whatever needed to be done after that he did. Then this person sets out to go meet the Khalifa. On his way, just before reaching the city, he sees the Khalifa leaving with all his soldiers and everything else, the whole procession that is coming out. And he takes the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, I want to tell you something. He tells the Khalifa. So immediately the Khalifa stops. He says, what's the problem? He said, there's one foreigner, some person that is there in our area. We don't know where he is from, but he has asked me to deliver these few things to you together with this letter. Now, immediately when the Khalifa saw those items which his mother had given him, immediately he realized that who has sent it. So he said, who has given it? He said, no, the same youngster has given it. So he said, he told some people of his that, listen, take this person, I'm going out now, but the moment I come back, I will summon him and I will speak to him. So he went. After a short period, he cut his suffer short, and he came back quickly and he called for this person. He said, who are you? So he said that, I am from a certain locality, and where is this youngster? So he said, this is what was he doing? So he said, no, this youngster used to come out for work. So he said, didn't you feel upset, or didn't you feel bad about the fact that you took khidmat from this type? He said, listen, I don't know, I asked for mafia, I didn't know that who this youngster was. So in any case, he asked him about his details and everything, and he told him. So after all that, so then the king, the Khalifa, asked this Abu Amir, said, can you take me to the qabr of this youngster, or to my son? So he said, yes, I will take you. So the Khalifa comes to the qabr of his son, and he recites whatever, makes dua for him, and from that he takes great lesson. Now the point that we want to make here is that these are all youngsters, these are all youth, and see how when they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what type of life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. It was a life of pleasure, life of happiness. And that is where true pleasure lies. And that is where true happiness lies, in the obedience of Allah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, give you, give all of us, and especially our youth, the ability to realize what is good for us and change our direction in life. And let us realize that true pleasure will lie in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will give us happiness. Allah Ta'ala will not deprive us of happiness. When we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give us happiness. And that will be true pleasure, that will be true happiness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to spend our youth in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And as we've heard today, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be 7 categories of people that will be granted shade in the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of that is shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah, those youth that grow up or that spend their youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the fitnas are many outside. And our only salvation is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hold steadfast unto the deen of Allah ta'ala. Those of us that are finishing off here, or that have finished off, or that are thinking of going into universities, or going furthering our studies, or whatever it may be, whichever department we may be going into, remember, always hold steadfast unto the deen of Allah ta'ala. And the clothing and the uniform that we have got, hold steadfast unto these things, because these are those things that will become barriers for us. The first thing that sometimes happens when we leave here, we find our uniform goes out. When our uniform goes out, then the person becomes brave in doing whatever he wants to do, because he finds himself comfortable in any type of company thereafter. But when a person is in this particular uniform and in the garb of those that are pious, or the Ahlullah, or the Awliya Allah, then he finds it difficult to join those people that have different types of clothing and different types of dressing and different types of uniform. And that in itself becomes a means for this person to stay away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So these things, this tarbiyat that is being made, hold steadfast unto it. practice it now, and let it not be said that, you know, we feel that we are forced to do this. Let it come out from within the heart, like a person sometimes he has to take medication. He's not forced to take it because he knows that this medication is going to do me good. So similarly, these things we are being told, we are being educated, nasihat is being given. Let us take this to heart and realize that for us there is khair in this. For us there is goodness in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا كريم الله يا رحيم الله through infinite grace and mercy forgive our major and minor sins. Ya Allah, forgive those sins that we have committed during the brightness of the day and forgive those sins that we have committed during the darkness of the night. O my Kareem Allah, you are aware of every sin and crime that we have committed. Ya Allah, we are not justifying any of our sins and weaknesses. Ya Kareem Allah, forgive every sin of ours. Ya Allah, forgive those sins that we have committed with our eyes and those that we have committed with our ears and hands. Ya Allah, and feet and tongue, O my Kareem Allah, in our minds and hearts. Ya Kareem Allah, you give the tawfiq to spend the balance of our lives in your obedience. O my Kareem Allah, the youth that are seated here, protect them and protect all of us from all sides. Protect us from the right and from the left, from in front and from behind, from above and from beneath. Ya Allah, grant us all piety and taqwa, O my Kareem Allah. Protect us, my Kareem Allah, from all the evils and all the fitnas and all the sins that we find ourselves surrounded in. We are extremely weak, my Kareem Allah. Nafs and shaitan have overpowered us. Ya Kareem Allah, you draw us toward yourself with your power of jazm. Ya Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, fill our hearts with your muhabbat and with your love and with your ishq and with the ishq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Kareem Allah, give us enjoyment in your ibadat, O my Kareem Allah. This is a night that you want to give us. O my Kareem Allah, let us put our begging bowls the right way. O my Kareem Allah, fill our begging bowls. Let us go from here with your muhabbat. Let us go from here with your ishq. Let us go from here with the ishq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Change us before we go from here, O my Kareem Allah. Change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, because of our excessive sinning, our hearts are gone hard, O my Kareem Allah. Our hearts have been blackened because of the sinning that we have that we have engaged in. O my Kareem Allah, change the condition of our dead heart. Hawa o hirs wala dil badal de. Hamara ghaflat me duba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. O my Kareem Allah, we continued sinning, O my Kareem Allah, and made our hearts hard. O my Kareem Allah, our hearts are gone impure. Ya Kareem Allah, remove all the dirt and filth from our hearts. Remove arrogance and pride from our hearts. O my Kareem Allah, remove jealousy from our hearts. Ya Allah, remove all the evil and all the razail from our hearts. Ya Allah, bless our hearts with all the good qualities. Ya Kareem Allah, bless us with ikhlas, my Kareem Allah. Bless us with shukr and sabr and taqwa, O my Kareem Allah. Make us that fish that swims deep down your ocean of ma'rifat. O my Kareem Allah, give us youngsters the respect of our parents. Ya Allah, through infinite grace and mercy, give us muhabbat for our parents. Ya Allah, let us be obedient to our seniors and to our parents. Ya Kareem Allah, today we are abusing our parents. Ya Kareem Allah, through infinite grace and mercy, those of us that have been disrespectful to our parents, give us the tawfiq to seek the forgiveness of our parents before it is too late. Give us the tawfiq to make the khidmat of our parents. O my Kareem Allah, let us humble ourselves before our seniors. Let us humble ourselves before our parents. Oh my Kareem Allah, give us realization. Give us realization. O my Kareem Allah, put our direction in life right. O my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, grant us the best in this world and grant us the best in the Akhirah. O my Kareem Allah, make our youngsters, Ya Allah, give them the ilm of deen. O my Kareem Allah, make them successful in whatever they are doing. Ya Allah, accept them for the khidmat of deen. Those that are engaged in the memorizing of the Quran and Majeed, make the memorizing of the Quran and Majeed easy for them. O my Kareem Allah, those that are experiencing difficulties difficulties in memorizing the Quran and Majeed. Remove those difficulties. Remove the obstacles. Remove the problems. Oh my Kareem Allah, if the difficulty is because of weakness of memory, then you through your infinite grace and mercy strengthen the memories. Oh my Kareem Allah, if the difficulties are there because of our engagement in gunas and sins and your disobedience, then you give the ability, my Kareem Allah. You give the strength, my Kareem Allah. You give the courage to shun all sins and all disobedience. Oh my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, open our minds and hearts. Open our minds and hearts. Oh my Kareem Allah, let our youth be the leaders of tomorrow. Oh my Kareem Allah, accept them for the khidmat of deen. Oh my Kareem Allah, create unity within the hearts of parents and children. In the hearts of parents, Ya Allah, grant muhabbat and shafqat for the children. In the hearts of the children, Oh my Kareem Allah, grant muhabbat and respect for the parents. Ya Kareem Allah, when we were little, our restlessness was the restlessness of our parents. Our happiness was the happiness of the parents. If we cried, the parents cried. If we didn't sleep, my Kareem Allah, the mother didn't sleep. Ya Kareem Allah, when our parents reach old age, when they are in need of our assistance, Oh my Kareem Allah, let their crying be our crying. Let their pain be our pain. Let their happiness be our happiness. Oh my Kareem Allah, if you have given us the wealth and blessed us with the wealth of this world, give us the hearts to spend on our parents. Oh my Kareem Allah, let us not ever be disrespectful to our parents. If we have been disrespectful to them at any time, my Kareem Allah, and if they are still living, Ya Kareem Allah, you give us the tawfiq to go seek their forgiveness. If they have passed on from this world, then Oh my Kareem Allah, you forgive the major and minor faults. Grant them the highest of ranks in the Akhirah. Oh my Kareem Allah, you become happy and pleased with them. Oh my Kareem Allah, those of us that have parents, bless them with long life, with afiyat and salamati. Give them good health, my Kareem Allah. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of family members. Oh my Kareem Allah, unite the hearts of the ulama of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Kareem Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those that are sick and ailing, grant them shifa kamil ajil mustamir. Oh my Kareem Allah, those that are in hospitals, those that are in beds, those that are in clinics, Oh my Kareem Allah, wherever anyone is sick, through your infinite grace and mercy, Ya Allah, have mercy on them. Ya Allah, bless them with shifa kamil ajil mustamir. Ya Allah, you are not in need of hospitals to give shifa. You are not in need of medication to give shifa. You are not in need of operations to give shifa. Oh my Kareem Allah, those that have requested for du'as and those that are sick, through your infinite grace and mercy, Ya Allah, let your order of shifa be directed direct to the sickness. Let your order of shifa be directed direct to the sickness. You are Shafi, my Kareem Allah. Shifa is in your Qudrat, my Kareem Allah. You give the shifa. You let the shifa come direct from you. There is absolutely nothing short in your treasures. We haven't got that yaqeen in you. Oh my Kareem Allah, give us that conviction in you. Give us that yaqeen in your Zat, Oh my Kareem Allah, that it is you the one that gives shifa. Oh my Kareem Allah, bless everyone with shifa. Oh my Kareem Allah, change the ni'mat of sickness to the ni'mat of good health. Change the ni'mat of sickness to the ni'mat of good health. Oh my Kareem Allah, those that are experiencing financial difficulties, give them plentiful halal risk. Oh my Kareem Allah, those that haven't got anything to wear, then Ya Allah, you give them clothing. Oh my Kareem Allah, those that haven't got anything to eat, you give them food. Oh my Kareem Allah, those that are experiencing problems and difficulties in their lives, remove their problems and difficulties. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Oh my Kareem Allah, there are so many homes that are on fire, my Kareem Allah. The fights, the arguments and everything else within our homes, Ya Kareem Allah, we know that it is because of our disobedience to you that we are experiencing these things in our lives. Ya Kareem Allah, you through your infinite grace and mercy, give us obedience, my Kareem Allah. Make us your obedient servants. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Ya Allah, create compassion between husband and wife. Create concern between husband and wives. Oh my Kareem Allah, create compassion, my Kareem Allah. Let us forget our differences, my Kareem Allah. Hame ek aur nek bana de. Oh my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, Ya Allah, those that are studying, grant them, Ya Allah, grant them the best in their studies. Ya Allah, accept them for the khidmat of deen as well. Oh my Kareem Allah, unite Guide the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us steadfastness on Iman. Grant us maut on Iman. Resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. Oh my Kareem, Allah, make maut easy for us. Ya Allah, make maut easy for us. Ya Kareem, Allah, save us from the pangs of death, my Kareem, Allah. Allahumma a'inna ala sakaratil maut wa ghamaratil maut. Oh my Kareem, Allah, when the time of maut comes, take us away to Madina Tayyiba. Oh my Kareem, Allah, when the time of maut comes, take us away to Madina Tayyiba. Let us breathe our last before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is reciting a salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah? A salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah? A salatu wa salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah? Ya Kareem Allah, tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan hota. Wahan ke gulshanon mein koi apna bhi chaman hota. Diyare Quds mein bas ab zindagi basar hoti. Wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi goro kafan hota. Oh my Kareem Allah, let our salah be read in the Masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, let us become a patch of Jannatul Baqi. Ya Kareem Allah, if this is not Muqaddar for us, then wherever our maut is going to be, Ya Allah, let it be a Mubarak maut. Let it be a pleasant maut. Oh my Kareem Allah, there are so many begging bowls that are raised before you this part of the night. Ya Kareem Allah, we are all, Ya Allah, hopeful and desirous of Hidayat from you. We are hopeful for forgiveness from you. Oh my Kareem Allah, there is remorse and regret in the hearts. Oh my Kareem Allah, you are observing the remorse and regret that we have in our hearts over our past sins. Ya Kareem Allah, forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents. Forgive the sins of our children. Forgive the sins of our near and dear ones. Forgive the sins of those that have requested to make du'as for them. Forgive the sins of those that have made ihsan on us. Forgive the sins of the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Kareem Allah, accept all works of deen. Ya Allah, tabligh da'wat ki mehnat ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, unki simaat ko qabool farma. Unki gash ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, accept every mehnat of deen. Ya Allah, darul ulum, makatib, madaris, khanqao ki mehnat ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, those mashayikh that are making the khidmat of deen. Ya Allah, bless them with long life, with afiyat and salamati. Ya Allah, those mashayikh that we have around us. Ya Allah, in the towns that are around us. Oh my Kareem Allah, accept the khidmat of deen. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to take maximum from them. Oh my Kareem Allah, they are pouring their hearts out for us. We are not ready to take from them. We haven't made qadr of this ni'mat of yours, oh my Kareem Allah. Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sahib Salehji Dawat Barakatuh. Ya Kareem Allah, bless him with long life, with afiyat and salamati. Ya Allah, the ulama of this nature. Ya Allah, Mawlana Dawud Sidat Sahib. Ya Allah, Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib. Ya Allah, these mashayikh that are making the khidmat of deen, that are serving the Ya Allah, your makhluk and your creation. Ya Kareem Allah, bless them with afiyat and salamati. Give barakat in their lives, my Kareem Allah. Protect them from all sides, my Kareem Allah. You make the hifazat, my Kareem Allah. Those that are attached to them, my Kareem Allah. Let them derive maximum from them. Oh my Kareem Allah, accept their du'as. Accept their tears for this ummah. Oh my Kareem Allah, the restlessness that they have in their hearts. The restlessness that they experience in their hearts. For the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is going headlong into Jahannam, my Kareem Allah. Accept that restlessness of theirs. Oh my Kareem Allah, let not the tears go to waste, my Kareem Allah. Let not the du'as go to waste, my Kareem Allah. Accept them and accept their progenies, my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy. Ya Allah, give us appreciation of these types of people that you have kept amongst us. Oh my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, don't make us from amongst those that show no appreciation for your ni'mas and for your bounties and for your favors. Ya Kareem Allah, bless us with all that good that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged of you. All his life Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged of you, especially on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada. Oh my Kareem Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his approximately 124,000 shining stars and companions in the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Oh my Kareem Allah, mere Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne Hajar Aswad ko chhoom karke jo tujhse manga, mere Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne mataf mein chal karke jo tujhse manga,
رکنے یمانی کو چھو کر کے جو تجھ سے مانگا. یا اللہ, دیٹ وچ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم begged of you while speaking tawaf of the Baytullah, that وچ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم begged of you after reading namaz in the Hatim, that وچ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم begged of you after drinking zamzam, that وچ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم begged of you at مقام ابراہیم, and oh my کریم اللہ, that وچ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم begged of you at Safa and at Marwa, oh my کریم اللہ, and then وچ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم asked of you in Mina and Muzdalifa and especially in Arafat from Zuhar till Maghrib, then Masoom Nabi raising his hand and making dua for the Ummat, oh my Kareem Allah, Ya Kareem Allah, all the good that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged of you, bless us, bless our parents, bless our children, bless our families, bless those that have asked us to make duas for them, bless those that have made ihsan on us, oh my Kareem Allah, bless the entire Ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that goodness and everything that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for protection from. Ya Allah, grant us, our family members, our children, our progenies to come up to the time of Qiyamah and the entire Ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam protection from that, from those evils. Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ameen ya rabbal alameen, bi rahmatika ya rabb.